You can see the VU meters bouncing.
Yep.
That means you have audio this week.
Yes.
Last week was tough. It was like I was hosting a show with Marcel Marceau.
Is it our best show yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. His his butterfly trapped in a phone booth, excellent. A glass box or whatever those mimes do. I don't know.
People, there was a giant public media outcry about more Adam, louder Adam.
No, I saved it. The volume was fine. So if you listened last week, which why would you? But Adam sounded terrible. He sounded like this sort of a weird echo. Adam messed up his audio, and I had to save it best I could. But wow, there was barely anything there.
Yeah, technical difficulties, I think, is what I experienced. Yeah.
Yep, fair enough. However, the listening to the entire hour of that was still better than the 3-second explanation I just offered. So, moving on.
All right.
Hello and welcome to episode 460 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is...
Adam, always here, always ready.
I can't hear you, man. You there?
Oh, no. VU meters. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
You're there. Come on. I'm not going to mess with you. What is going on, Adam?
I might have a small obsession with VU meters now.
It's hard to look away.
It's like a hypnosis thing. Yeah. How much are they gonna? How much are those meters gonna bounce when I do this?
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay, sorry.
Because we're not running. We're not doing on your end. We're doing the best we can.
What about this?
Yeah.
Never gets old.
We're not making less work for me.
Okay, sorry.
In the end. No, it's fine. It's fine. I will one day, you know what? Maybe next time I'm in town, I'll show you how I produce the show.
Okay.
And compress the audio.
Seems like a lot of work for me.
It was just sitting there and
yeah.
Learning what a compressor is and what's a noise gate.
I have lots of stuff to do. More important things to tackle.
You don't want to know what a noise gate is.
No, I don't. Does it keep my kids safe?
Yeah, from the communists.
Okay.
I don't know what that even means. It's my favorite 80s song by Quiet Riot. Come on, feel the noise gate.
Right, yeah.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, it sounds like if there's probably some sort of a scandal involving noise, and it'd be like, because everything's gate at the end. Hey, noise gate. But no, that's not what it is.
Right.
It eliminates the little bit of the crosstalk that we experience.
Do you know where you can buy a noise gate?
Amazon.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can. But you can probably buy like a kid gate or a kid rock or a rock gate. You can probably get all those gates.
Yeah.
On Amazon. And if you do, click through our site, help us out.
Right. That was what I was getting at.
I don't think I bought anything on Amazon this week. Is that bad? Are they gonna be okay?
Yeah, I think so.
Sorry, Jeff. I know you're cutting everything in half, Jeff, but you all right?
I think we did buy something. It might have been last week, I don't know. We bought so here's the beauty of Amazon. I was having this discussion with somebody, a patient at work. Amazon is not only is it good because it saves you time and you can just, you know, instead of going to the store, get something quickly to your house, but here's the true beauty.
Hey, hold on, Grandpa. How does Amazon work?
Here's the true beauty, okay? So the obscure item. So Jack, his was complaining that in his hockey skates, he has really flat feet, so he pronates, so his ankle was rubbing on one side of his skate because of how flat his feet are. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to get you orthotics for your skates. That's what you really need. That'll keep your ankle off. But he has adult skates and they don't have the most cushion in them. And so anyways, I thought, I bet you somebody makes a sock that has like pads for your bottom of your ankles, your malleoli. And sure enough, you know, a couple of quick searches in Amazon, and there's tons of these gel padded socks that are specifically for hockey skates, inline skates, whatever. But for this issue, in the past, how on earth would you ever get something like this? You'd either have to home make it or you would never find it.
No, even if it existed, the puzzled look on the clerk's face when you were asking for it would kill you.
Yeah. So that's it. For the obscure, I'm like, oh yeah, now I can go and buy something like this very easily at my house in 2 days, the end.
That's way better than my dad's solution.
Okay.
He had the same problem. So back in the day, his solution was get rid of all the foreigners. No, that was actually a separate issue.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, he used to cut, he'd get packing foam, like very, very thin, like, I don't know how to describe it, very thin packing foam, but like hard compression stuff. And he would cut out a piece where his ankle, like for his ankle.
Right. So it fits in the spot. Yeah, yeah.
So it'd go across. I like the Amazon socks better.
Yeah, just easy. And hopefully the orthotics fix it, but I just thought, hey, no, more padding around those beefy ankles can't hurt.
I'm also cool with foreigners now that I am one.
Okay. All right.
That's funny good. How that works. Funny how that goes, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he stopped talking to me, though, because I'm one.
Because you're a foreigner. That makes sense. Yeah.
I'm taking all those local jobs. Now I feel terrible. Should we start again? No, forget it.
No.
I did buy something on Amazon. I bought, did I tell you this? Maybe it was last week. I forget now. I needed a lightning connectors.
Okay.
Did I tell you that?
No.
I told you I bought the plugs.
This is plug related. This is like the fourth week of the plug related Sega.
So I added on to that. I was like, you know what? And now I need a bunch of these lightning connectors so I can just have them all over the house, just plug stuff in. We have two iPads and an iPod, an iPhone. So you want to have them going.
Yeah.
So I bought a 5-pack of these off-brand. They're fine. They're not going to burn the house down, I don't think. And but it was $10. $10 for the 5-pack. But here's the beauty of it. They came in 3 different lengths.
Mm.
So you get 2 of the regular length.
Yeah.
2 of them are double the regular length. And one of them is 41 kilometers long.
Wow.
Like literally, I can just leave it plugged in and I can drive around the neighborhood with my iPhone. It's perfect.
Nice.
Yeah. It is really, really handy. Yeah. So there you go. Bought those for $10. Good purchase.
Great.
You know, they won't be as comfortable on your son's feet though.
No. I wonder if you wound him around enough though, looped him over his ankles, if it wouldn't
work. No, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
All right. So what's going on with you, man? What's going on in Vancouver?
Same old, same old. It's actually supposed to get nice here. It's been kind of crappy for the last week, but apparently upcoming, starting tomorrow, it looks like it's sun in the forecast for like the next 5-6 days leading up to Halloween, which is awesome if it's not raining. Happens. Yeah, no, it looks all clear through to Halloween, through to next weekend. So I'm really hoping that. I do have another photo shoot tomorrow. I actually got, photo stuff. Went from 0 to 60. Like I'm getting
turning 90 tomorrow?
No, nobody's turning 90. This is for friends of mine that their whole family, I want to say some live in New York, some live in Kelowna. Their family spread out. A couple of them are my good friends.
Where did you say Verona?
Kelowna. Some live in Steveston, so they're spread all out and they haven't been together as a unit in a long time, and there's a new baby in the mix. So bottom line is they're all going to be in the same place, so they asked if I would do a big family photo for them this weekend down at the Britannia Shipyards, which is a nice place. I never shoot there. That's not my chosen spot. When I look online, apparently a lot of photographers do. That is a very, very, very hot spot. And it's a place where, you know, a lot of the grad kids go to do their grade 12 grad photos and all that sort of stuff. But I prefer Gary Point. And because they're so close, I mean, given the choice, I would usually choose Gary Point. And maybe that's my preference because I like the scenery around Gary Point. But we're going to do the Britannia Shipyard with, I think, a group of 12 or 13, something like that. So whatever our photo challenge is next week, it's that.
Oh yeah, Britannia Shipyards. I'm in. Well, it's fall for next week is the monthly one.
Okay, I'm gonna try to shoehorn this photo into that.
Try to get a fall one.
Yeah.
You know what? Get somebody falling off the pier into the water.
Oh, that would be awesome. Just a splash.
Although technically not, I did say herps, which does not connect. Does not.
It doesn't translate.
I don't care. You know what? I'm gonna give it to you. You get someone falling off the wharf, you win.
Okay.
Hear that, Frank Pang? If it's Frank Pang falling off the wharf, 100% you win the year.
And then next weekend, actually, so that's this one. And next weekend, I have a very similar one set up too, like a big family group shot as well. So yeah, this is the time of year, I guess, people are looking for their big Christmas family cards. Shots. Yeah, I think that's probably mostly what it is. This one is mostly just because they're never all in the same city at the same time. So this is kind of a cool thing for them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you got the picture I sent you today. That was taken today on the patio.
Yeah, of you and your kid.
That's the weather. That's the weather here.
Yeah, it looks like summertime.
It was like summer. Yeah, it was no shirts on the patio today for coffee time.
Yeah, you might be pushing it though. You could take that photo in pretty much any weather and just, you know, claim that it's really nice.
No, it was right? Sunny, and the picture was sunny.
That's true, but you could be sunny and
freezing. Oh yeah, no, I'm a shirts off kind of guy. I'll do it. Like you just challenge me. I will send you one from February when the sun peaks out. I'll go shirts off minus 10. It's fine.
Sure, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but today it was legit shirts. My son's not doing that, so you can
like
tell.
Like 23 degrees.
Maybe on the patio it was probably 20, 21, something like that. But in the shade, not so much. It was cold. So that's the other thing is that surprisingly, due to some other scheduling stuff, the Freibad, the outdoor pool, is still open at the end of October, which is crazy. Wow. Normally it closes like the third week of September, but they've kept it open an extra 5 weeks, which is awesome for me. Been swimming every day. I go in the mornings, however, when it's not warmed up yet, so it's still like 5 degrees, but then in the afternoon it's turning into like 20 something. But by the time you hear this is what I'm saying. Sad times coming up.
Good. I'm glad.
Two more days. Yeah. Two more days left. They're closing it down after Sunday. It's shutting down for the season.
I'm sick of it anyway. So
you're sick of the Frybad stories. I know.
Yeah.
But I got two more swims in me.
Okay, great. Two you more just swims told us in. About them. So we're good.
Yeah. You heard it. Well, I'm done. When you're hearing this, I'm done.
Okay.
So I have to find somewhere to go. And today was the last day for T-ball too. I just got home with my son. We had a little T-ball. Only T-ball, three kids today.
T-ball World Series?
Yep, T-ball World Series.
Yes.
Are you watching the World Series?
Yes.
You know who's probably not watching the World Series?
Who?
Probably Bryce Harper.
No, I know. He's got to be, his feelings got to be hurt a little bit.
He has got to be looking for a new sport.
Yeah, that's kind of rough.
Yeah. I know he's a big fan of the show, and my apologies, Bryce. I think you did the right thing. You look out for your family. It's not show friends, it's show business, but geez, this must sting.
Yeah.
No kidding. Little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
He's just praying. Right. He's praying that the Astros come back and win.
I think he's praying for, yeah, absolutely. Meanwhile, on the photo front, did a little more investigating and some listener help, as a matter of fact. Looks like my camera's going to need some servicing.
Uh-oh. And you're going to do it. You're not just throwing it out.
I'm not doing it. Oh, I'll get it done yet. I'll get it done. But I can't. I'm going to have to send it in. The focus issue looks like a semi-known issue. And it looks like it needs to be sent into Canon, which I'm really not going to. I can't do right now. I need this for an upcoming job. I have no choice. It's a video job, so that means manual focus anyway. So I'm not too worried about it for that job anyways, because I'm everything. I never, ever, ever use autofocus for video, and that's really what's wrong with the camera. But I've been looking back on some old photos, and some are terrible, and there's some stretches, however, where all of the images are just sharp as a tack.
Hey, do you know, you want to know how this podcast bleeds into my life?
I do.
Last night, I had a dream. I almost never dream, but I remembered my dream. I must have awoken suddenly for whatever reason. And my dream.
Dreaming about electric sheep?
Nope, I was dreaming about my camera having focusing issues, like not being in focus. Like never had that dream before. Coming on the heels of our big, so that's how it affected me internally. It really must have registered, even though it seems like I'm tuning you out most of the time. Yeah. I was actually paying attention because it was part of my subconscious.
What's weird is I guarantee at the same time your wife was also dreaming about me, but something else.
Something different.
Yeah. Definitely not focus.
I wasn't dreaming about your camera. Somehow this affected my camera.
I see where this is headed. You don't have to be Freud.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So anyways, I'll keep everybody updated when I send that in probably mid-November. And we'll see where that goes. Hopefully we can sort that out and it's not going to be too much money. But I'm not super confident.
Okay. I expect it's going to cost you a lot of money.
What do you think a lot of money is? I have zero to go on. I have no idea what it's gonna cost. I assume I've heard they do a free estimate, and they'll give you an estimate on what it's gonna cost, and so we can leave that out. What do you imagine? Now I think the post that I read online that one of our listeners sent basically described my issue and. It sounds like somehow the focusing screen got jarred loose and it needs to be readjusted and then recalibrated.
Okay.
So what is that going to cost?
The over under. I'm going to set the over under here. $600.
No way. I'm taking the under, 100% under.
Really? You think it's going to be less than that?
If it is 600 euros, first of all, euros.
You
can go 1-to-1, like, because we earn euros here, we spend euros here. So it's really, you don't do the 1.5.
But what was your camera cost? It's all relative to the cost of the camera. What was your camera?
I bought it used.
Okay. But what would it be in euros? What would that camera be in euros?
Like brand new?
Yeah.
At the time, I don't know. It was from like 2012.
Around $3,000. Just a camera, yeah, body only. So it wouldn't be 3,000 euros.
Yes, that's generally how it works. But the taxes are different, and that's tax included generally. But it's pretty close. Even with taxes, it's pretty close.
Okay, $600.
€600. Okay. If it is that much, if it's over 300, I'm going to be sour.
Okay. All right. I can't.
Oh no, they are. If it is 600, there is a high, I won't say a lock solid, you know, guarantee. I won't give you a no honk guarantee, Garth, but if it's that high, I will consider selling all my Canon stuff.
Wow. But remember when you had that lens issue, was it your 70 to 200? Which lens was it? How much did that cost you? How much did it cost?
I'm going to say it was around $300.
Right. That was on a, what, $600, $700
item? Right. Yeah.
Part of the equation. I honestly do. I feel like that's part of the equation in terms of how they figure it out. But now that's also looking at a North American model where they're always going to rip you off. Maybe in Europe, they're more honest than they are in North America. Yeah, we'll see. But if it's something that can be done by a professional in-house, it's not going to cost you the $600. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, I've been shooting with my 5D Classic, and I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos, people talking about the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera. So,
right. Which is really, really popular, right?
It's popular. I'm not sure it's for me, but... It is cool, but you have to fit it out with a bunch of other stuff. You have to have, you know, like a shoulder mount and all these things that you really have to add.
And it's expensive, right? Like, it's expensive.
No.
It's not. I thought it was.
The camera is really, really reasonably priced.
Okay. All right.
Like, in my opinion, I mean, like the high end pocket camera, there's the 2K or the 4K and the 6K, whatever it is. I forget what they're called. But the high end one's like $2,500. And then the lower end one's like $1,200 or something, and it's they're both awesome. Now there's reasons that they are, you know, that price, but at that point, we'll see. I'm not sure I'm sold on it. There's a bunch of issues. There's no eyepiece, that kind of thing, and I'm not looking to necessarily get one, but I'm considering it.
Okay.
So We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Canon. We'll see what happens with what they maybe they're big fans of the show and they'll do one gratis so that we get.
Yeah. Good, I'm sure that's what's going to happen. No, you're screwed.
Yeah. 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 No, that's definitely. So we'll find out. Reminder, monthly challenge, as we already mentioned, is Herbst, and that means fall. I tried to get mine last night. Did not do it.
Okay. I have not tried.
I don't think I did. I don't think I, you know, I'm looking at my pictures now. You know what? We'll see. Maybe I did. Maybe I did. You're going to tell me later on.
Okay. If I looked at your photos, if they're the ones that you put in the box, you didn't get it.
Okay. No, I didn't get it. I told you I didn't get it. Yeah. I was trying to, that was the plan, as we'll get into that in the photo challenge. I was out trying to get I was trying to do a twofer last night. Get this week's, what was this week's? Make it good? Something like that?
Yeah. Something good, I think is what you said.
Something good. And which I did do, but I was trying to get another one for the Herbst, and it just didn't, timing wise, it just didn't work out, I don't think. So I'll do better. So anyways, my point is, it's a monthly challenge. Post that on Instagram, hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, or hashtag Hey Hosers, even better, at us, tag us at Two Hosers, and we'll make sure that we talk about it next week.
Okay.
Did you shoot anything interesting?
I shot some hockey.
Okay, that's in your photo challenge. Did you post any? Are you gonna post any that?
No, I didn't.
So what was interesting about this then? Because you shot hockey last year.
You know what? I take it back. It's not interesting.
Where? Which rink was this in?
This is in the Richmond Ice Center, which is okay. That's very awful. Very dark, and depending on which rink you get, some of them are. Red, some of them are blue. This was a blue one. It's freezing cold. I should have brought gloves because that was the other part. And I probably shot the least number of photos that I have ever shot for in a game. I stood in the penalty box, which is, you know, for those that aren't hockey fans, kind of between the two players benches, and with no glass obstruction, which is kind of the key for shooting hockey. If you shoot through the glass, your pictures just aren't as good. I think we can all understand why, but the glass in a hockey rink is very marked up, and shooting through the glass, it's harder to grab focus, but plus it's shooting through like a really crappy filter that you haven't cleaned for 6 months. So it's right. better to not have that obstruction. And being that, you know, this is house league hockey, nobody cares if I go into the penalty box and shoot photos. Plus our team really likes it. And the association, like the Richmond Jets Hockey Association, always asks me, they send me emails, oh, can you, you know, send, because they have new jerseys and they want, you know, to use it as advertisement. And I said, you know, when I shoot photos, I'll send you a few. So everybody's good with it because they like the photos. So yeah, I did that. And it's tough because I feel like the rink gets darker every year. I use
It's your glaucoma.
I use the 70-200 lens, and I have to use the 6D because the ISO gets up so high. In order, part of it, I think
3200.
Oh God, no, way higher than that, like 10,000. So,
oh really?
Yeah, and I think the main difference is compared to a couple years ago, is the skating, the speed of the game just gets faster every year. So, in order to stop them, you have to use a faster shutter speed, which involves, you know, I'm right at the threshold all the time. So if I shoot at F4 and then I'm trying to shoot like, you know, at least at 1/1000th of a second, you're at ISO 10,000 or ISO 12,800. Now when the play stops, you can go the other way. But as soon as they're skating, it's like, yeah, that's just what you're up against. Now the beauty of it is, there's still good images taken with that noise. The images still look good, and you clean them up a little bit in Lightroom, and everybody who gets the photos loves them. So, you know, they're not like they would be if we were playing in an outdoor rink, but they are still pretty good considering ISO 10,000 or above.
And you're not blowing them up on a billboard,
which
kind of give it away. Yeah,
exactly. If you're going to print it, you're printing it as like a 4x6 or maybe a 5x7. And I have photos in my house of hockey, even as big as 8x10s, and they still, you wouldn't know that the ISO is where it is. Now, granted, those ones aren't as high as I am now, just because, again, like I said, the speed is picked up a bit.
Yeah, it's still worth it. I think in the end people will appreciate it. And
I enjoy it. But the big difference I found between now and doing this a couple of years ago is I just pick and choose the good spots. Like when I see two kids going for the puck and the angle is right, I snap that photo. Otherwise, I just don't bother. Like when they're going sideways and a kid's pushing the puck up in front and he's by himself, I'm like, I'm not shooting that picture. I want them coming at the camera, or sometimes kind of a little bit away from the camera, so I can, our team has their names on the back of their jerseys, so parents like that. They like the number and the name as the kid's kind of making a move, even if you can't see their face. Those are kind of neat photos, so I'll snap that. But I really probably only snapped about, I don't know, in an hour and 15 minute hockey game, I probably snapped 55 photos. And there aren't many bad photos, but then I realized I didn't get, you know, I certainly didn't get the whole team. I might have covered half the team, so I'm not going to post any or ask anybody for permission until I get a few more and get everybody on the team covered. So,
yeah. Coincidentally, I shot photos of all the kids with the hot moms.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Were you?
Hey, whoops.
Wait, with your arm around them?
No, I didn't. I'm saying you did.
Oh.
I was you in that. So I don't know if you understand. I don't go to hockey here.
Oh, that would have been weird.
Yeah, I walked around just snapped selfies with the hot moms. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So where's the dad? How's things going? Yeah. Would you say it's working out?
Right.
Yeah. That was me. Thanks for making it creepy.
What about your interesting stuff?
I just told you about the selfies. We're good.
Okay. All right.
I did not particularly anything outside of the photo challenge. A few window light shots and some snapshots, but outside of that, no, not really. I kind of had to force myself to go out.
So would you say that I'm carrying this week's episode?
Oh, I think every week.
Okay. No, all right. But clearly, clearly this week though.
Yeah. All right. In the photo challenge then, and the photo challenge was something good. And I'm a cursory glance. I'm going to say we both did something good. So I want to see these hockey, the one hockey photo.
Yeah.
And there's your son with the new uniforms, Quebec Nordiques. Wow, the colors.
Yeah, it's sort of like the new Winnipeg Jets. Like the Winnipeg Jets have a third jersey like this. I think the Pittsburgh Penguins have a third jersey that's this color.
Right.
Sort of the baby blue. And this was at the end of the game. And
this is number 99, Wilf Paymont.
Jack doesn't celebrate very often. Like, I don't think I've ever seen him have a real goal celebration. But this was the last minute. They were down a goal. And he scored a really nice goal to tie up the game. And he was excited. So he did a full down arm pump. And I shot it. And I liked it. Because you also have the referee in the frame pointing at the goal. It gives it some context.
Before we even get to, what's the ref doing? This ref is, his evaluation on this game is going to be horrible.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a ways from the net, too.
He's a little ways from the net. He's not working the half piston, full piston, that's for sure. We can establish his arm point is weak. Why bend the elbow? Get it right out there. Straighten that arm.
Yeah, you gotta look intense too.
Look at why is your pant leg sticking out? Like, why is it tucked into your skate? That's a dead giveaway.
That's your bush
jersey,
league.
He's wearing his brother's jersey.
Yeah, a little big.
I can tell right now that his laces aren't white. That's a thing. Now you want to follow along the pride of Richmond, Kelly Sutherland, who he would point straight.
Okay.
He would point his arm straight, and you know where he is now?
He's in the NHL.
He's in the NHL, son. Okay. He wouldn't actually, in all fairness, Kelly wouldn't work the half piston, full piston either. He would dance to the beat of his own drummer, but he's in the NHL now. And you know why? White laces, kid. Now let's get it together.
Okay. You're very passionate about this subject.
I used to ref with these guys and it was always a big deal. You gotta point straight. Come on, let's go.
All right,
but back to the good part of the Nordiques. I like the way your son wears his socks. He looks like he knows what he's doing, which he shouldn't. What is he, in Adam House? What is he, in Pee-wee House?
No, Adam. He's second year Adam.
Second year Adam. There's no way he should know how to wear skates like that, his socks like that. So it's really good. He's way ahead of the curve. The fact that his socks in House League match his jersey is fantastic.
Yeah, every team has that. That's all. That's how they roll.
That's relatively new. Back when I played, it was catch as catch can. Like some guys, some guys use Sears catalogs for your leg pads. Like it was just a mess. Like you had like whatever your dad wore for socks, you wore those were your hockey socks.
Right.
So now all different. Kid looks good out there. Looks like he played for the Maine Black Bears for that.
Yeah. Floor. Yeah. No, I'm kind of torn on it because he's a good hockey player playing house hockey. And so,
he's sandbagging?
No, it's not that. It's that there's probably five other kids playing house hockey like him that you know could be playing on a top rep team, but just choose not to. Like Jack's personality is much better suited for house hockey because he's not an aggressive by nature kid.
Right.
But his skill set is very, very good. And so it's one of those things where we didn't really want to play rep. We didn't think he'd enjoy playing rep at all. And there's morning practices. There's a whole bunch of things that would make it very difficult for my wife and I. No, just even getting him there, and just even the level of seriousness that people take hockey. I just didn't think it would. He didn't really want to play, and I didn't want to push him to play that. And so him playing house hockey is a bit like a video game. Like he can go end to end. He plays defense and he can go end to end. And so he gets a few goals every game, but he's also a very unselfish player. So he'll go down and most of the time he'll always try to look to pass the puck if he can to set someone else up. Like that's his thing. And so I like it. And so when a kid that like him scores the goal, you know, and he scores multiple goals every game, right? So when he scores the goal in the end to tie the game and then does the big sort of fist pump, I'm thinking in the eyes of most of the other parents, like that's the feeling I have. It's like, come on, man. It's like you can do that almost whenever you feel like it. And, you know, there's kids out there that skating is still, you know, new to them, right? So
right.
It was kind of a goal at the end. And he does and he doesn't do that very often. And I was happy, he was happy, but afterwards I'm like, that was fine. You can celebrate that, but you know, let's not make that a common occurrence.
Good for you, man. I'm hear you. You know my policy on the celebration and the bat flips and all that stuff. I can't stand it. In the last minute of the game when you're down a goal and you put that, all bets are off. In that case, as long as you're, relatively respectful to the other team, it's you should celebrate that. I'm not a heart made of stone.
No, and that's kind of where I landed too. I'm like, I said, you know, that's the story. And he agreed. He knows because he scored another goal earlier in the game. He didn't celebrate it other than, you know, get together with your teammates and you pat each other. But there wasn't any of this. This was more the fact at the end of the game. So yeah, I'm not pro celebration and he's never been pro celebration, but I think a couple of kids on the other team kind of got under his skin a little bit and said a few things as the game's going on. And there was a number of rushes that he made where he would have a clear-cut breakaway, but then kids that don't really know about offsides, like it must have happened a half dozen times, just go offside as he's going to the blue line. And and as a defense, when you're winding up and you're rushing the puck like that and you do all the effort to just go offside, he was getting noticeably frustrated. So this was, all right, we tied the game. He's the captain. He's happy. So again, I agree with you. I'm going to let the celebration go in this situation. But yeah, just try to be humble. Be humble, especially when you're clearly a level above. Again, house league. It's fun. It shouldn't be super competitive. And sometimes, even house league can be competitive.
And then, you know, after the game, go and feel free to pose with some pictures with the other kids' moms.
It's yeah.
Hey, how you doing? You see me out there? Yeah, score the winner.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Do it.
Like the pose. I like the mid action. I probably snapped three photos. I didn't actually take a photo of him rushing up the ice. I didn't take a photo of him shooting the puck. I took a photo as he scored. I committed to, I'm going to take a photo of a celebration goal, so you better score, kid. And then, this one went from arm way back to mid to, I think there was four shots. And I just liked the angle of this and the stick in frame. And also just the fact that the ref, even though, like you say, not a locked arm, it's clear, if you are running hockey circles that this is a goal point with the celebration. Yeah.
The ref actually makes the shot. Otherwise, it could be in practice.
Context. Yeah.
Could be in practice. It could be him catching an edge in mid-sneeze.
That's true.
Down.
Yeah.
But no, you can definitely tell it's a celebration because of what's going on. And he's pointing at the net, not at center ice, like they do in the NHL. You know, it's or like they used to do a long time ago. So that it really is a good photo, and definitely. All the context makes this photo.
Okay.
All right. Okay, let's go to mine. Mine was a last minute change. I snapped a bunch of photos, which we're actually going to talk about in the topic in after we're done here. But here we go. This is my entry into something good.
Go.
I'm not talking about it. You know, I'm not talking about it. I snapped the photo. That's my talking.
Okay. I like it.
Okay. Why?
I like the background and the foreground kind of match, even though I know it's lit by the catch lights and just the shadows. Like it looks like you've kind of done a clamshell lighting, but the background light is just, it's very pleasing, and you've done a good job with the flash kind of matching the color tone so that it doesn't look it. I mean, it looks. To a photographer, it looks lit, but it doesn't look lit at the same time. You got sort of a nice orange bluey thing going on with the orange in behind her and the orange kind of light that's sort of her hair on her face, and then kind of a bluey light on her hair, and then just enough of the background to kind of make it interesting. So yeah, and all, just an interesting photo. A good Instagram headshot is what I would say,
which is probably where she's going to post it actually.
Yeah.
But we'll find out. Yeah, so this is down by the Neckar River, the place I told you about before. Whenever, like last week, we talked about location scouting and where you go when you're going to shoot pictures in anywhere, but in tubing in specifically. I want to tie it all in. And so as I had said, I had tried to wedge in the fall autumn photo as well. And so I, you know, there's the place called the Neckar Insula, which is the island in the Neckar River, which has all these big trees. It's a very famous spot. And so I want to meet her. A friend of mine agreed to come out and get her photo taken. We'll talk a little bit about later, I think in the topic part, I've been hitting kind of a rut in that, not a rut necessarily, but I typically photograph my kids, you know, or sometimes my wife, but generally my kids. And so it's been kind of the same thing every single week, right? Like when it comes to the photo challenge, I know you did too. So I'm not casting aspersions at you. It's what, you know, it's what we do.
But I've actually had a whole number of photos recently that haven't been my kids. So just saying this week.
That's true. Last week you didn't. You're right.
Photographic fire.
That's true. That's like your kids feel neglected, which you should do every once in a while to make them love you more. It's an old technique.
Don't group me with your laziness.
Yeah. Sure. Like that's not normally what we do. Bribing our kids. Hey, who wants a Fanta? Okay, go stand over there. Pretend you're not sad. And so, anyways, and so she agreed to come out. But the issue was you know, she worked until 5:30 and couldn't meet me until 6:00. Well, the sun sets now at 6:15, and so it gets kind of dark. You know, and so. Couldn't quite get the fall colors that I wanted. So we walked across the bridge and went over to this very, very popular spot, which I think I photographed or put a photo up last week. There's a wall along the Neckar River, which is very popular with people to go and sit. But that's what you're looking at. In the background is the last little bit of flare in the sky reflecting on the river.
Right. That's kind of what I was guessing, but it's out of focus right. enough that, and I don't know this area, that I didn't want to take a stab at it, and you go, wrong!
No, it's the studio, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so that's what it is. So in behind her, to camera right, would be the Holderlin term that I took a photo of last week and showed you where all those boats were. Mm-hmm. So a very, very out of focus. This was shot with the 85 F1.8, probably at around F1.8 because it was getting very, very dark. I had to crank the ISO up to 640 on the 5D Classic, which is pretty much as far as you want to go. And then I had to light this. Well, the path the path along the wall is extremely narrow. Like, so in terms of camera right to her left, there is, it's less than a meter, like, so quite a bit less than a meter really to walk. And so it's hard to get, and it's all shrubs at that point. And so it's hard to get an umbrella in there, which I did. I had an umbrella on a stand just out of frame, a shoot through umbrella. And then you said clamshell. I would love to have done that, even like a side to side, but I would have needed like a drone with a floating flash on it, because on her camera left is the river. Like, it's a big drop off down to the water. There's nothing there, no ledge or anything to put a flash.
Gotcha.
So this is lit by one light only, which is, you can see if you.
Yeah, no, you can see it in her eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much straight on. But the one thing I knew I would want to do before we went out there is I kind of knew what the light would do in terms of color. And so I threw a quarter CTO on the flash before we left the house, right, knowing that I'm going to want to balance for that and then kind of push everything else to a little bit blue in the background. And as it worked, like, I never intended to shoot the kind of golden sky off the water like that. So that's a happy little accident. But other than that, that's about how it happened. We only had a time for a couple shots, worked out with the 85, and that's that.
Cool. Looks good. Yeah.
And not my kid.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. That leads us into the topic that I didn't even prep you for. So you better be good on this one.
Okay.
What is art?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll give you some back. Yeah. Who is art? That's what Paul Simon said. What brought me to this is that there's some backstory I'll give you now. I fancy myself an artist.
Wow, you know, really?
A little bit. I mean, yeah, I'm a little bit like that. I'm an artiste, and in life, and when it comes to most things. You know, although my favorite book on baseball, you have it, is called The Science of Hitting by Ted Williams, it's the art of baseball that I love the most. You can play the scientific game where you should bunt here, do this here, but I love the sort of jazz feel of it, like where you know, what are you going to do next? And that's the art part of it. So when it comes to taking photos, in that respect, There was a time a while ago where I used to think that I was getting worse at taking photos.
Okay.
Now I know I am.
Uh-oh.
I'm currently writing a book called I Suck, The Alan Attridge Story. That's actually a Bill McNeil. I'm going to give full credit. That's a Bill McNeil joke from News Radio. Okay. Phil Hartman.
All right.
I feel like I went out to shoot my photo challenge. She came out and met me, and I was like, oh, like, I have dialed in. And then I took the photo, and I took a couple photos, and I was like, well, these are terrible. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, my confidence is just blown here. And so we shot around a bunch of different places, and I just was like, what am I doing here? I am really getting worse. The photos of my kids are getting worse. I can compare them to stuff I shot 5 years ago and think, those were way better, you know?
Right.
And part of it I thought was, well, my kids are getting older, as are yours, so you've experienced this too, and they're getting more aware of it and more tired of it, and they just don't want to participate. So, you know, I can chalk it up to that. Maybe that's why the photos are not as good.
Right. I think that's part of it for sure.
Definitely part of it, but I also go out and photograph other people, in this case, and the photos are good. She loves the photos. She wants to go shoot again. That's awesome. I'm going to go shoot with a bunch of people. That's great. But going out and shooting, I found last night was an absolute struggle. I fumble around with my camera like I'm an FNG, and it's killing me. Okay. You have to Google that. I'm not saying that's a
bad word. I was trying to do it in my head, yeah. And I think I got 2/3 of it.
Yeah. So, I don't fumble around my camera, because here's the thing is, I know my technical stuff, like clockwork. I still do. Like, my muscle memory is great. I know exactly what shutter speed I need to be at. I know flash power. I know aperture, ISO. I know all those things before I even look at the camera. I can dial that all in. So technically speaking, all dialed in. What's my problem?
I don't know.
I have the answer if you don't know.
Okay, tell me.
I think I have the answer.
Okay, is it inspiration?
No.
Okay. All right, blame your family.
I was blaming you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Your wife talks down to you?
She's pretty emasculating. I'm usually wearing a ball gag, so it's
couples therapy?
Yeah, no.
She would never go.
No, of course not. She wouldn't pay for it. We're in Swabia, dude. Here's the honest truth is I think I forgot about the art.
Okay.
I I'm not even talking about just the technical part of it, because you learn the technical stuff to put it aside so that you can focus on the photography. Because right. They always talk, oh, yeah, no, don't worry about the technical stuff. No, you have to worry about the technical stuff until you can do it, until it's out of your head, and then you focus on the photography. But I think I have been more concerned with, like, documenting a moment or whatever it is than I have with the actual art part of it.
Hmm.
So, with that in mind, what is art?
Well, I was going to say, I think none of this stuff ever occurs to me.
Yeah, well, it should occur to you now.
The technical stuff never occurs to me, just because now it's just muscle memory, I think. Like, mm-hmm. And the art part of it, I don't know how to quantify that, but I generally just think, okay, so I'm not thinking about technical almost at all, right? Like you say, right. I think it's just kind of now it just happens. I don't think about it. Other than when I'm on the way out the door, I might sort of, you know, in my head think about, okay, you know, is it a bright day? Is it a cloudy day? Like, what am I going to need to bring? You know, but then after that, it just all kind of happens. But I am generally thinking about what is interesting. That's all I'm thinking about when I'm shooting photos, especially when they're not of my kids. Cause, sometimes with my kids, I just mail it in too, because they're impatient and I just want to get it done. But when it's other people, my real only thought is, what's interesting here? Like, what looks interesting in the background? What angles might be interesting? What will make them look natural? But now we're talking about people in portraits. So
natural, that's the thing. Is I'm talking exactly about portraits, not about. I wouldn't say I have no problem. I have very little problem shooting artistic style candids. It's the portrait part now. With that in mind, let's have a look at the other ones I posted. So let's go to PS stands for photo shoot. Photo shoot one. Here's a black and white photo from this session. Is that art?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. It looks formulaic to me. Like that, the black and white.
Me too.
Yeah, that black and white photo looks like, all right, so you had a canvas of a fall sort of surrounding, and you dropped it down, and then you posed a person in a studio, and then it looks too, she's too sharp, the background's too blurred, it's just, mm-hmm. it looks cool, but then it doesn't look real at all, and it looks like it was done in a studio. I'm guessing you didn't do this in a studio, because I don't think you have this, and the background does go more out of focus, which you could just take a studio slide type picture of this that goes out of focus, and then stand the person in front of them and light them perfectly. So it's just not, something isn't right. The pose is not natural. Like she's got,
that's the part I'm getting at.
But so, it's also the light. It's the pose and the light. Like the light isn't right.
The rest of it too is that this is a function of it, the sun setting before she got off work. Like that was definitely not to handicap me. That's why my original idea was to post an image from this setting. That was what I set out to do, and I didn't. That's why my photo challenge was from a different setting, because this was, I knew it was a failure just because of the light. Generally what I would have done, I shot with the 85, I would have shot at like an F8 so I could get much more depth in the shot, and the depth of field wouldn't go out so fast. Just not possible in this light. So one thing. However, I still shot it and thought, okay, great, I'm going to use this. I'm going to talk about this as a failure. you know, I don't hate it. She still likes the photo because it's not nothing that she could ever do with her iPhone.
Right, right.
But for me, it was the pose. I'm sitting there trying to give her some direction because she's like, well, I don't know, what should I do? And I said, I don't know. I don't know how to make you look natural because there's no way you'd just be standing here this time of night by yourself.
Yeah, I think you almost have to kind of get her to walk to that spot, like with movement, and then take the shot like of her walking rather than her standing still. Because like you say, as soon as you're standing still in this setting, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense that you would just, oh, hey, I'm going to stop right here. And now I'm going to, like, for me, it's the hands. It's the hands are, like, I'd call this photo, if I was artistically naming it, I'd call it Hands.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'd call it Hansy.
Her name is actually Hans.
Hans.
Yeah, that's Hans. He was a he.
So anyways, like, all of it says like, not natural. And again, it's still perfectly fine, like you say, but it just doesn't have a natural feel.
Right. And now go to the one right below it, which is a color photo, a different pose. Yeah. I think a better photo.
It's better. It's still something is not, it's just not natural. The side tilt of the head is overdone, I think, here. Like, it's too much. Mm-hmm. And again, it just says not natural. There's something not natural about this. It is better. Definitely a better pose. And I like the side profile.
Also, I did move the light to, because the other one, she was facing the other way. And then at the last second turned away. So it became broad lighting, essentially, versus short lighting, which I always prefer. So I did move the light. So I do like the lighting better.
Yeah.
And that's why I kept the color, et cetera, et cetera. But my one issue was, it was so, this one is, to me, I like the colors. I like the lighting. I don't think the lighting is overdone. To you, you can tell I lit it. I don't think it's an example of a, oh my God, that's just a gaudy photo.
No, it's not. It's much, so much vanilla. Much yeah.
This is just your vanilla ice cream of photos. And that's what I'm saying. Like, there's nothing artistic about it. There's nothing natural. You want to go natural, that's fine. If you want to go over the top, are artistic, that's fine. This is not those.
Right.
And that's my rub.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I think part of it too is it's hard to shoot this kind of 3/4 sort of length environmental portrait, especially with lighting, and make it look natural. Like, it's tough. If you shoot this as a headshot, it's much easier. It's much easier to get a good photo. But as soon as now you're shooting her from, you know, you're including headroom and then all the way down to just above her knees. Now you're including a lot more environment and you're trying to balance flash with that environment. Like, it's not an easy task to make it look natural.
No. And that's one of the other things too, is I did shoot some headshots too, which I don't think I bothered to share. I didn't want to use those for samples. In the photo challenge is more of a headshot.
Right.
I did shoot in some nice in close ones, which were nicer, but they didn't really use the background. I kind of wanted to incorporate the cool background because it's not often during the year you get like a 1 or 2 week period where the ground is covered in leaves like this.
Right.
Like they will rake them up eventually. And so I kind of wanted to use that as a backdrop. But yeah, again, it looks nice. It is what it is. It's, you know, all right. But back to the art. There's two more that we'll get to in a sec. But the art part. Did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I don't think so. Who's in it?
Well, it's brand new. Brad Pitt and Leo DiCaprio, the Tarantino movie.
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. Now, I recommend seeing it. Now it's probably out of theaters now, so you want to go see it. You want to see it on video. You have your own little home theater.
Yeah, I do.
That movie is a phenomenal example of art. It is absolutely amazing, that movie. I didn't much like it, though.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's good. I'm glad I saw it. It was one of those movies that I saw and I was like, oh my God, like just blown away by it, by the sheer, you know, artistic part of it. Except I was like, you know, I'm not going to see it again. It's not that kind of movie where I'm going to want to watch it over and over like a Raiders of the Lost Ark or Jaws or something. But it was amazing because when you do see it, it was gutsy. Like what he did, what Tarantino has done and always done is he makes his movie what he likes, what he thinks is good. And it's honest. Like this movie was so wildly honest, except that it lied a bunch. That was the only issue. Because it kind of tells an alternate history of what really happened.
Right.
But you can tell that it comes from an artist. Like it came from what he felt and what his emotions and his feelings about Hollywood, et cetera, et cetera. It came from somewhere. It wasn't just some vanilla recreation of, oh, here you go. It looks good. Moving on. So when you see it, maybe we'll have to revisit that once you see it. So that's I don't want to give any spoilers away.
Okay.
So, in terms of my takeaway on the art bit was, I thought a lot about it, about what do you want to do. Do not, here's what you don't do, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong here. Do not force art.
Don't force
do it. Not, well, don't be in a situation where you're like, for example, I'm out here shooting, and it's nice fall. I'm like, well, I'm going to be crazy and artsy for the sake of art, just because. And I'm going to do some crazy lighting. I'm going to backlight you and have some, you know, weird top lighting and just to make it different.
Right.
That's not art. That's naming your, giving your kids some stupid name because you think it's creative. Don't do it. Don't foist that upon your kids.
Right.
Name them Jack.
Yeah.
They're boring.
Yeah.
So they can dominate House League.
Yeah.
So... How would one? I made some notes here, but how would one get their art mojo back? Assuming they ever had it, which I did. I think I still do. How do I get it back? What are some ways to do that? If you can't think of any, I'll yell mine out.
Go yell yours out because I don't know. I never lost mine. It's just always been good.
Okay. In no particular order. Mine was be sincere, be honest to yourself, internalize everything, and do what you want to do, not what you read on some blog somewhere.
Okay, good. I like that.
Definitely get inspiration. I get inspiration from certain photographers. There's a photographer I follow on Instagram who I've followed on the internet for a long time named Dan Winters, and I highly recommend checking out his stuff. It is amazing. Like that guy's and that guy's artistic, man. And really good at what he does. Photographs some very famous people. Does it very well. Definitely check him out on Instagram. But don't necessarily just go out and say, "All right, well, I'm going to shoot everything I shoot. I'm going to shoot like Dan Winters." You got.
I agree with this one 100%. That's all I do is look at other people's stuff and then borrow, get ideas from the stuff that I like that other people do. Because yeah, you're not going to think of everything yourself. And isn't that what all art is? Is just basically stealing from other people?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, you can't, all the stories have been told. There's only like three stories, right? And they keep being told in different ways. But, you know, yeah, there's different techniques that you'll borrow from, but make it your own.
Sure.
Like you've for example, like a good cover song. Like I happen to like a well-done cover song, and for no particular reason, I happen to have a soft spot for a song that is originally recorded by a dude, covered by a woman. Very, very, very specific, I know, but, and I can't think of any, I wish I should have written some down, I hadn't planned on going here, but I happen to like that because oftentimes the women will then make it their own song.
Right.
And I love that. I love their interpretation of it versus if somebody else just makes a cover, you're like, well, it just kind of sounds like the original. We were good.
Yeah.
We're fine. You know, didn't need that. I'm Gonna Love You Too by Blondie by Buddy Holly. Like that's a crazy example to give, but I happen to hear that on the radio today. So go figure.
I have playlists of acoustic covers of pop songs, which I love. I love when you take a pop song, you take everything out of it, strip it down, and then it's done acoustically. And sometimes it's again, a song that, you know, is a man singing a female song or a female singing a song originally recorded by a male. And it's awesome. But yeah, the acoustic part, as soon as you go acoustic, it can't sound like the original.
Right. Right. Okay, so my next up, another note I made was avoid repetition. Don't just do the exact same thing every single time. It's fine. Like sometimes you have to. Like you're doing headshots for somebody with a white background. You're not going to reinvent the white background. But if you're going to go out there and be interesting, don't just keep repeating it.
Gotcha.
That's my other one. Along those lines, another note, which is kind of the same thing, is be bold. Go ahead and try stuff. You know, it's a great time to fail. Don't be afraid to fall down, and you'll get back up.
Gotcha.
And the last two are kind of tied together is, one, do not make excuses like I did, you know, like that black and white photo, which I didn't claim was good. I didn't say, it's a good photo, but, you know, time-wise, we didn't have the light. No, I came out and told you why it wasn't good.
Right.
Was an excuse, it was a reason, but don't go out and make excuses about why you can't be, you know, the artist. And the next one is kind of big, like it sort of ties in with having the confidence to do your own thing, is don't apologize. Don't apologize for your take on a certain situation. You don't have to explain yourself. If that's the way that you honestly interpreted that situation, go ahead and shoot it that way. Go ahead and tell that story. You don't owe anybody an explanation. If you truly believe that, then you're good.
Okay.
You might be bad. I'm not saying you're good. I say you're okay. It might be bad. Like there's some art where I look at that and go, well, that's not really art. You know, like I tell you a lot of stuff, what Mapplethorpe did, I get it, man. That guy was bold and did not apologize. Not for me. Not a big fan.
Right.
Myself. I get it though. You can say, all right. I was this summer, we were at the Salvador Dali Museum in Spain. Turns out, I mean, I love the, I you know, you've seen pictures of the guy, you've seen the one, probably one of his paintings at the minimum, I mean, probably the maximum. And that one wasn't even hanging there, unfortunately. That's the one painting I wanted to see in person. And then the rest of the stuff, I thought, you know, I don't know, not for me. I don't think it was good, but the guy was an original.
Right.
So that's artistic. So just before we go, there were two more photos I wanted to just post up there that from this photo shoot. Like I said, my whole rub on this was trying to shoehorn some originality and some artistic license into kind of a, you know, is it a blah situation? You tell me these last two photos. Is it kind of a blah situation or am I just, you know, tired of shooting in Old Town Germany?
Well, the last two, I see one that's different, but then the other one
PS3 and PS4 we haven't talked about.
Okay. But the one is almost the same as the challenge photo.
Very similar, a different, it's actually a slightly different location, believe it or not, along the river. So yeah, it's basically a headshot, just includes more, just wasn't quite as good as the challenge shot.
Right. Okay.
And then the last one, you like the last one.
Yeah. The last one I like the best. The background is interesting. The light looks like it's, could very well be ambient light and not lit, even though it is lit, I'm sure. But it looks like it, no one would think this was lit. And, the only, like the environment, everything, this is very interesting. She's looking off camera. It looks almost natural except for her hands again. Her hands, you would never, no one would ever stand like that. So this one is, if only those hands were just by her sides or in a way she might actually stand, I would really like this photo. I think this is so close.
We had, she asked me about the hands, what should I do with my hands?
Yeah.
And she had no pockets. And I was like, well, we tried different things, like, you know, kind of hold them here, hold them there. And I struggled to find something natural.
Yeah. And that's it. That, I mean, again, everything about this photo I like. For those listening at home, she's kind of standing against a wall in sort of, it looks like a street at night. and she's leaning up against the wall. She's looking off camera. So everything says about this is candid, except for the fact that she's leaning against the wall and she has both hands across her side of her waist folded and kind of leaned in that way, which, again, I've never met a human being on earth or seen one that would stand this way. So that's the problem, is it's just, if those arms are just hanging, one behind her butt, maybe one up against the wall, lost in shadow. Like
that's
this.
That's how you say it when you're dealing with a model too. Hey, just put it behind your butt.
Yeah, just put them behind your butt. Put them anywhere. Just not, you should not have talked her into the position she was going to stand. It's supposed to be
okay.
Stand against the wall. That's it. The end.
Yeah, look at the reflection, though. The reflection is the key.
Absolutely,
Now, the one challenge here, I did say don't make excuses here. I am making an excuse.
Okay, let's hear your excuse.
The one challenge, like we worked on different hand positions, etc. If you don't see her hands, it looks odd because she's wearing a black shirt and a black sweater. And so her arms essentially disappear. So all of a sudden, I'm shooting Venus de Milo.
Okay.
And which hey, that's pretty good art, by the way. So I should have done that. Just said, no, that's what I'm trying to do. So I didn't want her arms to disappear. And so I had that added challenge. Now, that's on me. I should have mentioned something about wardrobe ahead of time. You know, she kind of chose her own thing, came from work. So maybe we should have gone for more browns or something like that, tan colors, more fall colors. So that was one challenge. I don't think I succeeded. I agree with you. The hands were a problem.
Yeah.
Of what to do with these. And so, you know, I'll move forward. I'll do something more artsy with that.
Okay.
Next time. All right. But you like this one better than the actual challenge photo.
Yeah, I do.
Ah, okay. See, I disagree with you. I think I like the eyes in the challenge photo much better, which is what made me pick it. So, way more artsy.
Yeah.
All right. Challenge for next week is our monthly challenge. It's herps. That's fall. That's autumn. Did you figure out what it was in French yet, Adam?
No.
I forget too.
Yeah, l'automne. L'automne.
Yeah, we'll wait till it's winter, and then it's l'hiver.
Le automne.
Hashtag that to Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers, or even better, make sure you tag us at Two Hosers on Instagram, and we'll talk about those next week. Hopefully they're artsy, Adam.
Okay.
That's what you want to do. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com, the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.